to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to the NXT Podcast. As always, my name is Zachary Smith. I am your host this week, as I am every week on the Now I've Done This on Time Multiple Weeks in a Row, So Shove It edition of the podcast. As always, we record each and every week here. Also, these episodes go up on my wrestling podcast, Random Wrestling, where when we had a WWE Network, I would take a random pay-per-view and I would talk about it. Hell in a Cell 2019 was the first one. And then me, being a super smart guy, forgot that everything was moving to Peacock, and Peacock hates me and won't let me watch wrestling shows. So that's why that's been on hiatus. Nailed that word. But for updates on that and to discuss wrestling, other fun things like that, you can hit me up on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. But for now, we have a fun episode of NXT to talk about. Now, before we do that, we have a segment that's called News. It's news with an exclamation mark. It's a very carefully curated and researched segment where I talk about what's going on in the world of WWE. What it is not, what it certainly is not me typing WWE into Google, going to the news tab, and just reacting to what I see. So once again, can't help but feel like some of you guys doubt me on this. That's not what it is. I'm more professional than that. Thank you. But if you were to do that, you would see that Sports Illustrated has a headline that says, "The Undertaker, sitting at home for WrestleMania 37, was an emotional tug of the heartstrings." That Last Ride documentary was interesting in some parts, but if you think for a second that The Undertaker is done, you don't know him and his weird relationship with Vince McMahon very well. Maybe Vince McMahon genuinely cares about all of these people like his sons, the way that a lot of them see him as a father figure, but you could also say that most people would say there's no good-hearted wrestling promoters, and I think it might just be more likely that that kind of relationship lends itself better to them continuing to come back to make you more money. So he's not done. The Undertaker also clarifies calling the WWE's current product soft. I don't care, man. I don't care at all. Bleacher Report says Mickie James calls out Vince McMahon over, quote, care package, unquote, after WWE release. I believe it was some of her belongings in a garbage bag with Mickie on a note that was shipped in a box. Just because you and your terrible staff of writers and creative people couldn't come up with any ideas for one of the most talented women that have ever walked into those doors does not mean that you get to treat her that way on the way out, when she never had a story come out about her anything, about her doing anything but trying to be the best she could be, giving you some of the best content that you still play to this day. I don't understand. I don't understand what we're doing there. Ronda Rousey's pregnant with her first child. Awesome. Very happy for her. I knew that they were trying. So that's very cool. So congrats to her. The six WWE stars who could realistically beat Roman Reigns in the next year. This one I'm going to have to click on. Daniel Bryan. Nope. Daniel Bryan's thinking about retiring. That's what WWE's done here. So he's not doing it. Edge. I think if we were going to do Edge, we would have done Edge. And the person who beats Roman Reigns after this long title reign that he's going to have should be a guy you're going to make. And I'll be the first to admit that at WrestleMania, I was rooting for Edge because it would have been very cool to see him be a champion again. But it was the right decision having Roman win. It would make little sense to just have Edge beat him. Cesaro is somebody that you could rather easily get to a point where he could be that guy, but WWE is not willing to do that. Vince McMahon probably still isn't over the fact that he's Swiss, and that's different, and difference bad. So that's probably it on that. I think that he's going to go up against Roman Reigns. He's going to give him a very close fight, but I think he's going to lose. And if you do things right with him after that, he'll be a bigger star, but they won't, so he won't be. Big E. Big E, as of right now, is the correct choice. Big E lost the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. And generally, you're going to lose that title because you're going on to bigger and better things. If there's one person on either roster that I have to pick to beat Roman Reigns for that title, it is Big E. And I think he can absolutely do it. Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's currently the WWE champion. Why would it be Bobby Lashley? Drew McIntyre. It could be Drew McIntyre. I don't know that people would be excited to see Drew McIntyre be the one to do it. Drew McIntyre has already had his moment. So I don't know. I don't know if that would be the most interesting way to go. Of all these options, I would love to see him go up against Cesaro. Have Cesaro take him to the limit. And then either at SummerSlam or later in the year, you have him go through a few more people. And then Big E is the one that takes the title from him. If we're going to break up the New Day, we should do it for a reason. But this week, NXT. This week's NXT starts with Kyle O'Reilly coming out to the ring in street clothes. I like his new theme. It needs bass, but it's good. He says, "In life, we face constant struggle and challenge, and at TakeOver Stand and Deliver, I face the biggest test of my life." He asks for the lights to be turned up and then realizes he's wearing sunglasses. Cool, man. Says he's in a good mood. He's happy that he's put Adam Cole behind him. I thought this was going to turn into Adam Cole interfering with this promo, but it doesn't. He says, "My work and my abilities have always spoken for themselves, and that is not WWE at all." That last part's my note. There have very rarely been guys that are successful because their wrestling did the talking for them. You can do that in the indies. You can do that maybe in AEW and Impact. WWE will not let you be that guy if you are just a wrestler and you let your wrestling do the talking. He says, "Now that Adam Cole is behind me, I have to realize that it's time to move on. What's next for Kyle O'Reilly? Well, there's something I learned at TakeOver. To succeed here, you have to have that killer instinct, and I found it." He says, "Do I challenge for the North American title, or do I face the most dominant force in NXT?" He says, "I'm talking to you, Karrion Kross. You have something," he was going to say, "that I want," but he's interrupted by Cameron Grimes. "This is one of a few times I'm going to say this tonight. Why would Kyle O'Reilly get an NXT title shot? He lost two straight to Finn Balor. My dog's very excited about it, and so I don't really get it." Dog was really excited about that segment, and I appreciate it. He's lost two straight to Finn Balor. He's only beaten Adam Cole. It's not like he beat Karrion Kross, so why on earth would he get another title shot? Whatever. Cameron Grimes congratulates O'Reilly. He offers to watch his back and invest in him. Kyle accepts his offer, and as of today, he's officially cleared to compete. And he said that the guy he wanted to challenge was around here somewhere. They go through this whole shtick, and Kyle puts his shades on again. He says, "Hey, it's you," and hits Cameron Grimes. This was really, really, really bad writing that Cameron Grimes and Kyle O'Reilly as performers made work. With some people, you can't overcome bad writing because it just kind of shows through. This was very bad writing, but Kyle O'Reilly is good at playing, I guess, silly, you would call it, even though it's not necessarily the direction I would have gone with him, but that's fine. And Cameron Grimes is really good at whatever you give him. And so those two things together, this should have been at best a nothing segment and at worst the worst segment on the show, but it wasn't, not because of the writing, but because of the two performers. And that's just it's a really good example of that. Saray arrived earlier today at the Performance Center. Regal is out there to meet her, and they are immediately interrupted by the woman whose name I have already forgotten. It's Zoe Stark. I only know that because Regal just said it. Basically, Saray already had an opponent lined up for tonight, but Zoe Stark introduces herself to Saray and says she really wants to be the one to fight her first, and Regal says he'd love to see that. I don't know why. And so whoever that opponent was going to be, probably Toni Storm now that I think about it, because of what happens later, now it's Zoe Stark versus Saray in Saray's debut match. Cool. LA Knight's in the back complaining that he was ganged up on in the Eliminator at Stand and Deliver. He challenges Dexter Lumis because he's the one that eliminated him. We're back from the break, and LA Knight is making his entrance. I'm going to say this again. LA Knight's entrance sounds like the first draft of a Dr. Dre track. They say that Dexter Lumis weighs about 239 pounds, and I thought that was weird because I thought he was more than that. I don't really have any analysis for you that I just thought he weighed more than that. There's a recap of last week when Dexter was carrying Indy Hartwell out of the ring. This is a creepy story, and I am uncomfortable with it, and it's not adding anything to any of the characters. And now Indy Hartwell's just super attracted to him, and so they're both being creepy in this situation, and I just hate it. And I hate how into it they're making Beth Phoenix, because those aren't their words they're saying. I just don't like anything about it. Lumis is distracted by Indy Hartwell at ringside, and he looks at her as he's getting into the ring, and LA Knight takes advantage and wins. Indy Hartwell goes to the apron and closes her eyes and starts going in for a kiss until the Gargano family all come out, pull her off of the ring apron, and take her to the back. I say again, this story is creepy and uncomfortable, and I wish we weren't doing it. We go to the back where Beth Phoenix is interviewing Io Shirai. This is the most I've heard Io talk, especially in English, since I've seen her in NXT. Io has layers to her personality that I'm glad we are now getting to see. She was kind of one note as an NXT champion. Not in a bad way, in a I will fight anybody for any reason way, but now that she's not the champion, she's getting to apparently show some more of that personality. So I like that. Io says that she will get her title back, but for now she is going to rest. She says she's defended her title for over 300 days. Her body is tired. I can come back and overcome Raquel Gonzalez. And they're interrupted by Frankie Monet's dog coming across the table. And Frankie disingenuously says sorry, and that since Io's taking a well-deserved rest, she'd be willing to fill her shoes, since her shoes are better anyways. Io claps back in a language I do not speak, and then Frankie says, I don't understand, and Io says, I like cats, and walks away. This was really good until Frankie Monet. I don't know Taya Valkyrie as a wrestler, but for all of the hype that she got coming in, I absolutely hope that she is better than this, because if this Frankie Monet character is what she was doing before, or it was part of the Taya Valkyrie character, then I don't get it. Frankie Monet is just a bad character. So, I mean, I guess we're going to keep going with this. And I don't know what the point of Frankie Monet is or what she's going to do. She's not beating Raquel Gonzalez or Io Shirai or anybody, I don't think. And her character's just bad, and we all know her name's not Frankie Monet. And the dog is cute, but it's weird to just carry a dog around with you. And I get it. You're a bad guy, so I'm supposed to dislike you, but I don't dislike you. I just don't care about you, which is the opposite of the effect we want. So, cool, man. She's interrupted a bunch of segments. I don't care. I literally only sat through it so that I would be able to tell you what she said. So, okay. We cut from that, and here's Zoe Stark making her entrance. You need to know that Zoe Stark is going to lose, but Zoe Stark is a star. Don't ever forget it. Always remember, she's a star. Saray's music starts not good, then the drop hits and it's dope. So that's good. When her music started, I said, oh no, and then the drop hit, and I was like, oh no, this is very good. Okay, I can work with this. This match is more competitive than I thought it would be for Saray's debut. In fact, Zoe Stark is taking most of this match, and it's pretty shocking to me. Saray eventually wins with a modified suplex. That was an interesting debut match. Saray didn't get a ton of offense in. Every time she would start to gain momentum, Zoe Stark would hit a super kick or hit a suplex or a big move and cut her off. It was almost like Zoe Stark took the role of like the heel that's kind of beating down somebody. She wasn't, but it was almost Saray getting lucky and winning. It wasn't a roll-up, but it wasn't far from it. I mean, it certainly helps Zoe Stark, I guess, even though she lost again. And Saray gets to show that she's a very good wrestler and willing to do business. She's not worried about, you know, looking strong. She's willing to do what's needed. That's fine. Just generally in debuts, you're going to see a little bit more one-sided than that. But I'm excited to see Saray kind of get in there with, I guess, Toni Storm next, because Saray picks up Zoe Stark and they hug and they're showing mutual respect. Zoe Stark starts walking to the back, but as Saray's celebrating, Toni Storm comes out from the back and attacks Zoe Stark, and Saray gets in between them. So I'm going to assume next up for Saray is Toni Storm. Now that should be a fun match, and also Saray should win that match if we're really going to go forward with, you know, as much gusto as I think that we are with Saray. That's what you should do. You should put him in a debut with somebody you know is good in the ring, and they beat that person, go right into the next feud with an established superstar that you have, and go from there. So, I mean, we'll see. I didn't get to see a lot of Saray's moves or anything. She's a good seller of offense, so that's good. I'm just excited to get to see more, I'll say. From that, we're told that up next is Kushida celebrating his Cruiserweight title win with an open challenge. Now, this title still will not mean anything, but that is an interesting idea. Like the John Cena open U.S. title shot every week, that was really cool. Anytime there's an open challenge by a champion, I like it. There's a recap of last week when Kushida beat Santos Escobar to win that newly unified Cruiserweight title. It's still a weird finish to that match that I don't think helped either guy. So Escobar loses by surprise roll-up when he had done darn near nothing but win for a while, and had done the most that you were going to do with the Cruiserweight title. And Kushida becomes the Cruiserweight champion, which, as far as WWE history goes with this title, doesn't mean anything. And I don't mean that the performers don't mean anything or the Cruiserweights don't mean anything. I mean that the way that the Cruiserweights and the Cruiserweight championship have been and still are being presented is something that is not to be seen as important or to be taken seriously. It's just a sideshow to the quote-unquote real stuff that they have. It's never put in a prominent position. Prominent people never hold it. You never build up the people that do have it. Like, Escobar was built up some on NXT, but it was just him going from, you know, feud to feud. The hottest that I think that Escobar would have been right after his match with Karrion Kross, because it's the first time that, you know, the Cruiserweight champion was in there with somebody you thought was going to be the future and one-time NXT champion, and giving him all that he could handle. And if you do more of that, then absolutely the Cruiserweight title could mean something. But inherently, a Cruiserweight title isn't going to be as important as a heavyweight title, as the NXT title is kind of assumed to be, even though it's not. But putting cruiserweights with other cruiserweights and cruiserweight stories isn't going to do anything but reinforce the, oh, that's the cruiserweights thing. Again, it's a weird finish that I don't think helped either guy. I think a better way to do this would have been if Kushida had done this exact same thing, except he had beaten Johnny Gargano for the North American title. Think about it. Kushida has been going on a tear, and he gets put in this match with Johnny Gargano. And Johnny is overconfident because he has the Gargano family, and he feels like he can't lose, and he just successfully defended his title at Stand and Deliver. And then Kushida hits him with a roll-up out of nowhere. Well, that kind of works for Johnny's character, because then he and the Gargano family get to be mad and stomp around and say it's not fair. Kushida gets a win and gets the North American title. You can set up for either in a few weeks, or if you're going to do a takeover soon, you can set up for a match where Kushida is now defending the title against Johnny. Maybe do it in like a steel cage so that the Gargano family can't get in, or maybe Kushida gets some backup that we end up seeing tonight. Do that. Then Kushida has won a legit NXT title, which I believe is part of the reason he left his other companies, that he didn't want to just be in the light heavyweight or cruiserweight division. But here he is. But that North American title isn't doing anything right now with Johnny Gargano. Not that he's a bad champion, but I think this would have been a better story if Kushida had simply been the North American champion. But he's not. So here we are. Kushida is announced to the ring, and he comes out ready to fight. He says, "Last week I won the title. Tonight I will give the same opportunity. Who wants a title shot?" And that was a good promo by him. It was short and to the point, and it had emotion behind it, and he was confident, and it said everything it needed to say. You don't always need people to do a whole paragraph. When John Cena did his open challenge, he would usually cut a long promo before it. And his open challenge is kind of what started the whole thing in WWE. And for the US title, it made it a very important title. And it was very cool, and I looked forward to it every single week. But not every performer is John Cena, and not every performer is going to be able to go out there and cut a 20-minute promo. And that's not just for people who maybe English isn't their first language. I mean people who've spoken English their whole lives. Not everybody is that kind of performer. Some people are the kind of performer that can talk for 20 minutes straight. Some performers can give you great one-liners. Some performers can just be menacing and threatening. Some performers have to just let their matches do the talking. But WWE only seems to want, on the main roster anyway, long promos from everybody. But they insist on writing their promos so it doesn't come across as them, and then when it doesn't get over, it's the talent's fault somehow. But this goes to show you, Kushida, speaking in a language that I do not think is his primary one, got everything across that he needed to with, let's see, 1, 2, 3 lines. "Last week I won the title. Tonight I will give the same opportunity. Who wants a title shot?" Boom, boom, boom. That's your whole story. And then you can let the match do the talking from there. The point being, there's a lot of different ways to tell a story, and I think if we can be more flexible with that, we'll be a lot better off, and the landscape won't look as samey as it does. He says, who wants a title shot? And Oney Lorcan comes out. He's the perfect guy for this. A guy that you don't think is going to win, but you do know is going to put on a great match. And they do have a really, really fun match that Kushida does win. Hard hitting, back and forth. Really good. Before he can even properly celebrate, Santos Escobar comes out. Kushida's facing him, and then he's ambushed from behind by Escobar's two goons. The three of them gang up on Kushida. Before they can do too much damage, MSK comes out to help even the odds, and the boys slide out of the ring, and Kushida knocks Escobar off the apron, so they cleared the ring. So we're setting up for something there. That should be interesting if we're going to do a six-man match, or maybe we're just going to do a cruiserweight title rematch, and all four of those people are out there. I don't know, but it should be a good match, whatever combination we get. Kyle O'Reilly is in the back. He's making his way to the ring for the main event where he's going to face Cameron Grimes. Right before they get to, I guess, the gorilla position, Karrion Kross and Scarlett are in the back. Karrion Kross has that NXT title over his shoulder, and they're just staring each other down. Kyle's music hits, and he turns and walks out to the ring. And Karrion Kross and Scarlett are both just smiling. I'm going to say it again. Why would Kyle O'Reilly get another title shot? Kyle O'Reilly was beaten twice by Finn Balor, pretty clean in the middle of the ring. So you have a person that not that long ago just lost. Like, the NXT title match before the last one was Kyle O'Reilly losing for the second time. So it doesn't make sense that he'd just be able to be like, Karrion Kross won a title shot. I guess you could appeal to Karrion Kross and maybe he can make his own matches. But I don't know that he should get a North American title shot at the moment, much less an NXT title. Like, I could probably talk myself into a North American title shot if he had some issue with Johnny Gargano. But one, you definitely shouldn't have an NXT title shot. And two, I know that you're not beating Karrion Kross, so that would just mean that you're just going to lose three NXT titles matches straight, and that's not good. I don't know that Kyle O'Reilly's ever going to be NXT champion. I could certainly see a story that leads to that. Maybe if Adam Cole got that title back, we could run this match back with the two of them, and that's Kyle's big moment. But I don't see it. I see him as like a tag team champion and a North American champion in my head. But I mean, he could be more than that, but not as he's currently constituted. Cameron Grimes and Kyle O'Reilly get a lot of time, and they have a really good match. Cameron Grimes is a great character, so you forget that he's also a really good wrestler. And so is Kyle O'Reilly. And O'Reilly goes to the top rope and hits that knee to the back of Grimes' head the same way he beat Adam Cole. If that's going to be his new finisher, I like it a lot. Going to the top rope and jumping onto the back of your opponent's head is an undeniably painful-looking finishing move. And that's an underrated part of a finishing move. You want it to not hurt, but you want it to look like it hurt. And few moves that I have seen look like they hurt more than driving your knee into the back of somebody's head. I'm just picturing that pain, if that were real, and boy oh boy, that seems unpleasant. I hope that's his new finisher, but he wins, and we'll have to see what goes on next week. But that is the end of NXT for this week. Again, I am always on Twitter at ZACHNXT. Let me know what you thought of the show. What do you think of our new champions? Who do you think are going to be our next title challengers? Who do you think is going to lose that title first? Let me know over there. Let me know if you want to hear me talk about anything on the show in particular. Always out to hear what you guys think at ZachNXT. In the meantime, I want to thank you for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe here as well as Random Wrestling. You can find this show on either feed. In the meantime, I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.